that is probably most famous from this week's parsha, though when we're in the beginning of Bereishis, it's like the greatest hits of Torah. This is no obscure, connecting parshiot. These are the parshiot that everybody knows. But undoubtedly, one of the most famous stories in this week's parsha and in arguably all of Torah is the story of Akedas Yitzchak, of the binding of Isaac. So let's read through this story, and then I'll try to explain how today's shiur is going to be a little different from what we typically try to do in our shiur this morning. Let us get started. We are in Bereishis Parak Chaf Bet. The source sheet is in the chat. Let me send it one more time in case anyone joined after. Okay. We are in Bereishis Parak Chaf Bet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'ila. Va'alokim nisa et Avraham. And it was after these events, and Hashem tested Avraham. Vayomer elav Avraham, vayomer hineni. And he said, Avraham, Avraham, where are you? And Avraham answered, hineni, here am I, God. Vayomer kach lecha. He says, well, last week we did lech lecha. Now Hashem is saying, kach lecha, take for yourself, et bincha, your son, et yechidcha, your only child, et asher ahavta, the one that you love. The Mefarshim comments here and say, why all of the detail? Why this step-by-step description? Because each step of the way, Avraham was saying, oh, but I have two sons. Bincha, he says, I have two sons, Yitzchak and Yishmael. At Yechidcha, Hashem says, come on, your only true son. Asher Ahavta, the one that you love, but still Avraham is saying, I have two sons. And finally, Hashem says, at Yitzchak, you should take Yitzchak. V'lechacha el Eretz HaMoriah, you should go to Har HaMoriah, Mount Moriah, v'alehu sham la'ola, you should sacrifice him there as a korban ola, al achad haharim asher amar elecha. I will point out to you one of the mountains, and it will be there that you will sacrifice your son. Undoubtedly, one of the most shocking statements that we hear in all of Torah, that Hashem is taking Avraham, who he waited until he was 99 years old to find out that he was finally going to have a child. He has this child, and Hashem comes to him directly and says, Avraham, I makes it very, very clear. I want you to take this son, the son through whom I promised you, Koyi Yezar Acha, that they will be like the stars in the sky and the sand of the ocean. And Hashem says, I know you waited your entire life for this child. But take this child and sacrifice him as a korban. And we don't hear an argument. We don't hear any protest from Avraham. When Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, at the burning bush, there we have a conversation. Moshe says, I don't know. I don't think I'm fit for this. Maybe I'm not the right person for the job. We do see conversations when God commands people things that are of a certain magnitude. This would be our first example, but it most definitely would not be the last. However, here, Avraham does not answer back. The pasuk goes on. Now we're in pasuk Gimel in the next source. Ve'eshkim Avraham ba'boker, ve'achvosh et chamuro. Not only do we not see Avraham protest, we see ve'eshkim Avraham ba'boker. Avraham wakes up early in the morning. Ve'achvosh et chamuro. He saddled his own donkey. Now, he was an important person. He did not have to do these things on his own. But it shows the enthusiasm with which Avraham was listening to the word of Hashem. Ve'ikach et shnei na'aravito. And he took his two servants along with him. That Yitzchak, but now when he takes Yitzchak, ve'ikva atze ola, he takes the wood that he will need in order to bring the sacrifice, ve'akam ve'yilach alamakom asher amar lo ha'elokim. He goes and he journeys to the place that Hashem pointed out to him. Ve'yom ha'shlishi, on the third day, ve'yisa Avram et inav, ve'yaret ha'makom mirachok. On the third day, Avraham picks up his eyes and he sees the place from afar. Ve'yomer Avram el na'arav, and Avram says to his servants, Shuvu lachem po im hachamor, you stay here with the donkey, v'ani v'hanar nelcha adko, and me and my son, we will continue on from here. V'nishtachave v'nashuva aleichem, we will bow down there, we will prostrate ourselves, and then we will return to you. V'ikach Avram et atzei ha'ola, Avram took the wood that he would be using for the sacrifice, v'yasem al Yitzchak b'no, and he placed it on Yitzchak his son, v'ikach b'yedo et ha'ish, he took with him the fire. He took all the equipment, all of the tools that he would need. He was truly prepared. He was going to give a full-on sacrifice. And he brought everything, and the two of them went together. Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram Aviv. Yitzchak said to his father Avraham. Vayomer Avi. He said to his father, Vayomer Hineni Bini. And Avram says, here am I, my son. Vayomer Hinei Ha'ish V'Ha'itzim V'Ayei HaSela Ola. Yitzchak asks him the heart-wrenching question of, Abba, I see that you have the wood. I see that you have the fire. Where is the seh? Where is the animal that we are going to sacrifice? Vayomer Avram, Elokim yir elo haseh. He says, Hashem will show us the seh la'ola b'ni. Ve'ochlu shnei hamyachdav. And the two of them walk together. Ve'avo al hamakom asher amar lo ha'elokim. And they arrive at the place that Hashem instructed them. Ve'iven sham Avram et ha'mizbeach. And Avram builds the mizbeach there. The altar is built there. Ve'aroch et ha'itzim. Ve'ikud et Yitzchak b'no. Ve'yasem oto al ha'mizbeach me'ma'al ha'itzim. It is at this point that it must become apparent to Yitzchak that he is in fact the seh, that Avram has built this mizbeach, he has laid out the wood, and he has taken Yitzchak and laid him upon the wood. Ve'yishlach Avram et yado ve'yikach et ma'achalet l'shchot et b'no. So Avram outstretches his hand and picks up the knife to shecht his son. Ve'yikrai lav malach Hashem min ha'shamayim. Ve'yomer Avram Avraham. Ve'yomer hineni. The Malach Hashem, a servant of Hashem, calls out to Avram as his hand is raised over Yitzchak. The most dramatic scene. And the Malach says, Avraham, Avraham. And Avram answers and says, who is that? Hineni. Ve'omer al tishlach yatcha el hana'ar. Do not strike your hand to this na'ar, to this child. Ve'al ta'as lo me'uma. Do not do anything to him. Ki ata yadata ki yarei Elokim ata, because now we know that you are a true yarei Elokim, that you are someone who fears God. V'lo chashachta ebincha yechid chamimeni, and you have not held back even your most prized possession, your son, your one and only beloved son. You have not even held him back from Hashem. V'yisa Avram etina v'yar v'hinei ayil achar ne'achaz b'savcha b'karnav v'yilach Avram v'yikacha ta'ayil v'yalehu la'ula tacha b'no. So he removes Yitzchak from the Mizbeach, sigh of relief on Yitzchak's part, removes him from the Mizbeach. Avram lifts up his eyes, he sees an aisle, he sees a ram that is entrapped in the bushes. He releases the aisle and he puts the aisle onto the Mizbeach and sacrifices him in place of Yitzchak, his son. Ve'ikra Avram shem ha'makom ha'hu Hashem yira'eh. Avram names this place Hashem Yira'eh, Asher Yomar Hayom Behar Hashem Yira'eh. He says, on this mountain today, Hashem I did see. Ve'yikra Malach Hashem al Avram Shinit min Hashamayim. So the Malach Hashem calls out to Avraham from Shamayim. Ve'yomer bi nishpati ne'um Hashem. He says, promise to me ne'um Hashem, ki ya'an asher asita tadavar hazeh. Ve'luchashta et bincha et yechidcha. He says, promise me here on this day that because you did not withhold your son, your one and only son, Hashem is reaffirming his promise to you that because you did not sacrifice you were willing to sacrifice your son on this mountain today, I will multiply your offspring like the stars of the sky, and like the sand that is on the shore, and all of your children, they will inherit the land of their enemies. Everyone will be blessed via your offspring, because you have listened to my name. At the conclusion, we see Avraham and Yitzchak, or maybe we see Avraham and his servants go back and return to Beersheba. You can imagine it, the soft music, the sun setting as they head off back to Beersheba. So what typically we would do in a shiur is delve in to all the discrepancies that can be found within this story. As I stumbled over my words at the end and I said that Avraham and Yitzchak and his servants return to Beersheba, Yitzchak's not in the pasuk. And there are so many pronouns used throughout the story of this person and that person. It's not totally and completely clear what's happening within this story at every point. Did Yitzchak go willingly? Did he know what was happening? How was Avram truly reacting? Did Avram want to do this? How did Avram feel about all of this? But today what we're going to do is we're going to do something different. Instead of approaching three ideas to what happened within Akedas Yitzchak, what happened according to the Parshanim within the story, I want to discuss three different approaches to how we use Akedas Yitzchak. What purpose does this story serve for us? For example, if we were to do this activity, if we were to enter into this endeavor with the story of creation, we wouldn't say necessarily what happens in creation. Rather, we would say, why do we have recorded the story of creation? One would be so that we have ownership of the world. We recognize that the Hashem, as Rashi says in the first parsha, on the first pasuk in the Torah, that Rashi says, we hear Parshas Bereishis in order to affirm to us that the land of Israel belongs to us, that God created the world and God gave us the land of Israel. And therefore, by connecting the two, we can recognize that Hashem created the land of Israel for us. So we are going to take that concept of what do we do with the story, not within the story, but what do we make of the story? And we are going to apply that here to Akedas Yitzchak. So the first approach to the story is going to be that we are going to explore the idea of Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim, in that we can use the story of Akedas Yitzchak, what happened within the story, as a lesson to ourselves. What do I mean? There is a story told over or written by Rabbi J.J. Schachter in his introduction to the Koren Slichos. Rabbi Schachter writes of the story of Erev Rosh Hashanah in Auschwitz. The year was 1944. Then I'm going to read the story from J.D. Schachter because he writes it much more beautifully than I could ever say. The Nazi commander there determined that only those boys who were able to work would be kept alive, and all of the others would be killed. Each boy in the camp would be forced to pass under a horizontal bar. If his head touched the bar, he could live. After this test was administered, some 1,400 boys who failed this test were placed in a special block guarded by Jewish kapos to be sent the next night to the gas chamber. Word of this action spread throughout the camp, and the next day, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, desperate fathers pleaded with the kapos to release their sons from this certain death. But the kapos refused, explaining that they were responsible for delivering the precise number of boys to the Nazis, and if even one was missing, then they would be killed. Finally, they did agree to release some of the boys in return for bribes. But to ensure that the exact number was maintained, they grabbed other boys who had been spared and put them in the block to be killed. A prominent rabbi and posek then in Auschwitz, Rabbi Zvi Hirsch Meisels, who was the author of Shelu Tshuvot Mekadshei Hashem, recounts how that morning he was approached by a distraught father who looked like a simple Jew, but who inquired of him if under these circumstances he was permitted, according to Jewish law, to pay a bribe to redeem his son. Because again, the question is, if he bribes to release his son, he is putting at risk, or sure death, another Jewish life. Because for every boy that is redeemed, they are going to grab another boy. So he is bribing, which first of all is not allowed. But we would say a bribe in order to save a life would most definitely be allowed. But a bribe to save one life that is going to kill another life, that's a question. That is a very weighty question. So Rabbi Meisels begged the Jews not to ask him this question. He says he's unable to rule on it. He's lacking the presence of mind, the books to review, and the colleagues with whom to consult such a weighty matter. The man insisted on an answer, and Rabbi Meisels repeatedly begged him not to press him and told him to do what he himself thought was right. Finally, the father said, quote, Rebbe, I have done mine, what the Torah has obligated me to do. I have asked the Shaila of a Rav. There is no other Rav here. And since you cannot answer me, that I am allowed to ransom my child, it is a sign that you are not prepared to say that the halacha permits it. For were it permitted, without any question, you would certainly answer me that it is permitted. I consider this a psak din, that I am not allowed to do this in accordance with halacha. And for me, this is enough. So my only child will be burned in accordance with Torah and Halacha. I accept this with love and joy. I will do nothing to ransom him, for the Torah has so instructed. No entreaties on the part of Rabbi Meisels could change the mind of his father, and the rabbi reported how that entire day, the day of Rosh Hashanah, the father walked around murmuring to himself with joy that he is permitted to sacrifice his only son to God, and pray that it be esteemed by God like the binding of our father Isaac, which also took place on Rosh Hashanah. Now, this is a story that none of us ever wants to think about. But the message of the story is that Akedas Yitzchak imbued within us as a Jewish people the ability to sacrifice. That deep within our nationalistic DNA is the ability to sacrifice of ourselves and to accept this challenge with joy, as Avraham Avinu did. That when push comes to shove, and Jews are meant to make a decision and they are forced to sacrifice of themselves, there are stories, hundreds and hundreds of stories throughout history, and unfortunately up until today, where when it comes down to the final moments, Jews are ready to sacrifice of themselves. And the first message of Akedas Yitzchak that I want to explore a little bit is that message, that Akedas Yitzchak gave us this religious DNA to sacrifice of ourselves. And you look in the next source, in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it says, Amar Yitzchak la'aviv, Abba, kashor li shtei adai v'shtei raglai shelo otcha kegon hadibor hayotzi min hapel shum ones mita. ונמצאתי מחללי כבוד אב וכאשר שתי ידיו ושתי רגליו ועגדו על גבי המזבח. In the psukim we saw that Avraham was most clearly the one sacrificing in the story, but we hear nothing from Yitzchak. However, when we enter into the world of the post-biblical texts, the Midrashim, the Mefarshim, there they explain the side of Yitzchak, what was going through Yitzchak's mind, what was Yitzchak saying through all of this. The only statement we heard from Yitzchak was, Abba, where's the Seth? And from that point on, we don't hear a word from Yitzchak. But the Midrashim sort of fill in that blank. And the Midrash here is saying, in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Yitzchak said to his father, Abba, I want you to tie down my hands. I want you to tie down my legs. I want you to make sure that I am tied tightly, so that I should not come to be over the Isser. I should not violate the negative commandment that one should not curse their father, that one should not hit their father. He says, I may struggle in the moment and I may come to do something that would be against the Torah. So Abba, I am here to follow the words of Hashem as well. Please tie me down tightly so that I don't fight back. This puts Yitzchak, this in addition to many other Midrashim, many other Mefarshim, attribute to Yitzchak also this value of not only allowing himself to be sacrificed, but really this self-sacrifice, this unimaginable level and ability to sacrifice of himself, because he knew that this was the desire of Hashem. That once he found out that he was part of this divine mission, not only did Yitzchak not fight back, but he entered wholeheartedly into this sacrifice. Yitzchak plays a very active role here. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin tells us as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra, Achar Dvariv Shel Satan Ktiv, Vayigdal Hayalad Vayigamal, Amar HaSatan Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Yitzchak was weaned, when he was raised, the Satan said before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Zakin Zeh Hananto Lemeya Shana Pri Beten, Mikol Se'uda She'asa Lo Asa Lo Torah Chad, O gozal achad lahakriv lefanav, amar lo klum. Klum asa ela bishvil beno, im ani omer lo zavach, zvachet bincha lefanai miyad zuchu miyad ha'lokim nisa at Avraham. So after this story of where Hashem, where Avraham raised Yitzchak and he made this party, the Satan comes before Hashem and he says, ah, Hashem, look at Avraham. What, you think he's such a tzaddik? The Satan says, Avraham, he waited until he was 100 years old and you made such a miracle for him. You gave him everything. You gave him this son. And what does he do? He doesn't come and sacrifice to you. He doesn't thank you, Hashem. Rather, he makes a party for his son, for his own joy, his own enjoyment. Hashem says to the Satan, believe me, Avraham would give me anything and everything. If I told him even to sacrifice this son, he would do so. And then next in the Pasuk, the Gemara tells us, is the next thing we see is that Hashem nisat Avraham, that Hashem tested Avraham. However, the Midrash goes on. So there we still see Avraham as the one who is sacrificing. But the Gemara goes on and says, Vayomer kachna bincha amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, inna ela lishon bakasham, mashal amelech basar vadam sha'am du alav melchamot harbei, Vayalo gibor achad v'nitzchan le'yamim amda alav milchama chazaka. So the Gemara tells us a story, tells us a mashal of a king that fought in many, many wars. V'hayalo gibor achad, he had one strong man, v'nitzchan li'amim amda alav milchama, so he always won. And then one day he had a very strong war come upon him. Amar lo, b'vakasha mimcha amud li b'milchama zo, shelo yomru rishonot im b'hem mamash, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar l'Avraham, nisiticha b'kama nisyonot v'amadata b'kulan. Achshav, amud li b'nisayon zeh shelo yomru im mamash b'rishonim. This gibor in the war would say, when it comes to the hardest war, the most difficult war, please put me in. I don't want people to say that all of the ones before don't withstand the test, like that I couldn't stand up to the test when it came to a really difficult war. So Avraham says the same. That Avraham says the same, Hashem, you've tested me many times. Please put me in when it's a really hard test. Hashem, I can withstand this one as well. So the Gemara is making clear to us that there is a real sense of sacrifice, that it did not go unnoticed, the magnitude of the test that Hashem was commanding to Avraham. And it was not just the fact that Hashem tested Avraham, as we see with some of the other tests that Hashem gave to Avraham, that the outcome, or what we discuss from the test after it is over, is that Hashem passed the test. Rather, here from Akedas Yitzchak, the first lesson that we can take from the story as a whole is from the actions that occur within the story, that it is this midah of sacrifice, this midah of being able to give of ourselves, that when the going gets really, really tough, when Hashem puts the most difficult situations in front of us, that we rise to the occasion and we are able to sacrifice anything and everything we have before Hashem. So the first approach to the story is an educational approach. It's that of Ma'aseh Avot Tzibat Labanim, what happens to our forefathers can happen to us, that it is within our spiritual DNA, based on the story of Akedas Yitzchak, that we have this power and ability and the strength throughout the generations to sacrifice of ourselves. So that is the first approach, an educational approach. We learn from what happens within the story. For the next approach, however, I want to look at a midrash in Vayikra Rabbah. The Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah tells us, Davar acher, b'chodesh hashvi'i, in the seventh month, Rabbi Brachia haya karei le yarchei deshiv usa, shebo nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avraham avinu alav ha-shalom. Hadohu dechte v'yomer bi nishbati ne'um Hashem. This talks about a promise from Hashem. Matzorach haya l'shvua, what did we need for a promise? Rabbi Bibi bar Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan amar. Aman Avraham b'tfila. Avraham stood up in tefillah. V'tachanunim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He davened before Hashem. V'amar lefanav ribono shel olam, master of the universe. Galoy v'yadua lefanecha b'shasha amartali. It was ready and apparent before you, Hashem, at the time that you said to me, kachna bincha yechidcha, hayav libi ma lehashivcha. What Avraham says to Hashem, it is clear and apparent before you, Hashem, that when you commanded to me, kachna bincha, take your child at yechidcha, that I was ready to give everything up to you. I had what I could have argued back. I had what I could have responded. Because before you had said to me, through Yitzchak you will be known through the world. You will have offspring through Yitzchak. That you should bring him up as a sacrifice. I had what I could have responded. I could have answered you, Hashem. However, I conquered my yitzer hara. I did not respond. I did not say anything. I did not respond in any way. Banav shel Yitzchak ba'im lidei aviros u'ma'asim ra'im tehi mazkir lahem akedas Yitzchak avihem. The Omein Mikisei Hadin Likisei Harachamim. Avraham is calling upon Hashem and says, Hashem, when you called out to me and gave me that most difficult test, that I thought I was losing everything I had in my life, I did not respond. I did not say anything. I did not have any words to respond to you, Hashem. So he says, Ribono Shel Olam, when my children in the future, the children of Yitzchak, this very child who I was ready to sacrifice to you, when they do the wrong thing, when they are going to sin, they are going to do negative deeds. Maskir lahem akedas Yitzchak. Please remember on their behalf, akedas Yitzchak, ve'omid mikisei adin. Please stand up. This imagery is very powerful. Please stand up from the Kisei Hadin. Please stand up from the seat of judgment, the Kisei Harachamim, and please move over to the Kisei Harachamim, the seat of mercy, Vitimalei Aleihem Rachamim, and please have Rachamim for them. Vitarachim Aleihem, Vitahafoch Lahem Mimidat Hadin, Lemidat Harachamim. Please switch over from the Midas Hadin, from the judgment seat to the Rachamim seat. Please have an abundance of mercy on them because of what happened at Akitat Yitzchak. Imatai b'chodesh hashvi'i, in the seventh month, when specifically? On Rosh Hashanah, on the very day that Akitat Yitzchak happened. So within this Midrash, we see that Avraham Avinu asks this of Hashem, but we don't yet see the response from Hashem. For that, we have to go down to the next source, the Midrash Tanchuma. There we see Hashem's response. Miyad patacha kadosh baruch hu et harakia v'et ha'arafel. Immediately then Hashem opened up the sky and he opened up everything. Vayomer bi nishbati nu'um Hashem. And Hashem says, I am swearing. Amarlo, ata nishbata. V'ani nishbati shalo irid min ha'mizbeach ad she'omer kol ma she'ani tzarich. Amarlo, emor lo kach amarta li. Hashem says, I had said to you, count the stars of the sky, these will be your children. Amarlo, Amarlo, Mimi, Amarlo, Mi Yitzchak. Hashem says, I promise you what will be from Yitzchak. Amarlo, Kishim Shahaya Bilibi, Malah Lahashivcha. So this is Avram speaking again. In the same way that I had something to respond to you, Etmol Amarta Li Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei L'Chazara V'Achshavata Omer Li Ha'aleihu Sham Ola. Even though you told me yesterday that my nation will be built through Yitzchak, and today you told me to sacrifice him, V'Kivashi Yitzrid V'Lo L'Hashiv Ticha. Here I conquered my Yitzhar Hara, and I did not respond to you. Kach K'sheyuhu Banav Shal Yitzchak Chotim V'Nechnasim L'Tzara. It's in the same way when your children are entering into trouble, tehinis karlahen akidato shel Yitzchak, v'tichashiv lefanacha ki'ilu afarot tzibor al gabei ha'mizbeach, v'tislach lahem v'tachiv mitzaratam. So again, it's the same request from Avram. Hashem, please, when you remember Akidat Yitzchak, you remember how I did not respond to you. I did not argue back, Hashem. Please remember what happened and please forgive my children accordingly. So now Hashem responds, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Ata amarta, so now you have given your word, I am going to say my part. In the future, the children of Yitzchak will sin. And I will judge them on Rosh Hashanah, on the same day that Akitas Yitzchak happens. If they ask for me that I find a merit for them, and they remind me of Akitas Yitzchak, they should blow with this shofar, with this horn. Amarlo, v'mahu shofar. What is the shofar? Amarlo, chazor la'achorayach. Turn around, Hashem says. Miyad v'yisa Avram etina v'yar v'hine ayil achar ne'achaz b'savcha b'karnav. It was at that point in the story that Avram turned around and he saw the ayil. He saw this, the ram with its horns. This was one of the 10 things that was created in the Bein Hashmashot, the busiest Erev Shabbos to ever have existed. Immediately before Hashem concluded the creation of the world, Hashem created 10 miraculous items during Bein Hashmashot. One of them was that aisle, that ram that was entrenched in the bush next to the Mizbeach of Akedas Yitzchak. This ram was caught and tangled within the bushes. So Hashem said to Avraham, you will blow in this shofar, which will remind me of Akidat Yitzchak, and I will forgive them for their sins. This is what David praised. This Karen, this horn, will be the symbol of our salvation from now and evermore. I will remove the weight of the other nations from upon them. Amen. So Hashem responds to Avram's request and he says, yes, Avraham, in the same way that you did not respond to me, that you did not argue back, that you did not fight back when I commanded you the most difficult commandment, one that seemed so unrealistic. I had told you yesterday that your nation was going to be built through Yitzchak, and today I'm telling you, sacrifice Yitzchak, but yet you listened. And Avraham, in the way that you asked me, yes, I will do so accordingly. When your descendants on Rosh Hashanah, on the very same day, when they remind me of what happens how many thousands of years ago on the exact same day, and they have done wrong, that will awaken within me my rachamim. They will blow in the shofar that will remind me that is a symbol of that day. And it will remind me of what happened and I will forgive them. This is why when we enter into the Slichos prayers, we use the Parsha of the Akedah. We over and over again say, like you answer to Avraham Behar HaMoriah, so too you should respond to us. We blow the shofar from the beginning of the month of Elul. We are using this story of Akedas Yitzchak, not necessarily what happened within the story, but the fact that the story occurred is used for us throughout the rest of history. Liturgically, it's used constantly throughout our liturgy in order to appeal to Hashem. And this is something that we see traced, so as we just saw in the Midrashim, that the idea of using the story of Akedas Yitzchak to appeal to Hashem is the next use of the story of Akedas Yitzchak. That it is not just that we learn from what happened within the story, but we use the story itself throughout our liturgy, throughout our davening, in order to appeal to Hashem. And Hashem says, when you use this story, you use what happens here, and you remind me of it. Of course, Hashem always knows what happens, but you specifically point out the story of Akedas Yitzchak to Hashem. That is when you will arouse the greatest rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem will respond to us in the way that Avraham Avinu responded to Hashem during the Akedah. So far we have two approaches. The first is an educational approach that we learn from what happens within the actions of the story. The second is a liturgical, a tefillah approach, that we use the story within our davening. We use it in order to communicate with Hashem. We take the message from Avraham, from the story of the Akedah, and we call out to Hashem using these merits, using this story. And the third approach is a more philosophical approach. There are so many midrashim throughout the story of Akedas Yitzchak that are sensitive to the philosophical problem with the basis of the story of the Akedah. If we read in the Midrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Vayomer Yitzchak el Avram Aviv, Vayomer Aviv, Balo Sama el Itzel Avinu Avram Amarle, Saba Saba of the Chalibcha, Ben Shenitin Lecha Lemea Shana Atahu Leich Leshachto, the Satan came to Avraham, and the Satan said, Avraham, what are you thinking? You are going to take your child that you waited 100 years for, and you are going to sacrifice your son? Amarlo, Almanakin, yes, we're going to. Amarlo, imenasautcha yoter mikanat at yochul amur. So he says, would we be able to test you in any more difficult way than this? So now the Satan points out the question which we are going to discuss, which is, you're going to slaughter your son today, and then you're going to be chayav for murder tomorrow. Hashem told us that you're not allowed to kill. So now Hashem's telling you to kill, and you're going to listen to this commandment? But the existing, the natural morality within the world is that you may not take someone else's life. This is one of the most natural concepts that we understand, that we cannot murder. This is one of those things that you most definitely did not have to wait for the Aseres Hadibros to know. It is very clearly obvious to us that you may not kill another person. So what the Satan is pointing out to here is a question that philosophers grapple with, based in the story of Akedas Yitzchak, which is there a concept of natural morality that we naturally believe that you can't murder? But Hashem came to Avram and said, you must murder your child. So how do we deal with that? Hashem seems to be contradicting not only something that Hashem commanded us, but something that is so naturally ingrained within each and every one of us. And continuing along that philosophical pondering, how could Hashem be commanding Avraham to undermine all of the work that he had done in his life up until this point? Avraham's entire life mission was to spread the message to the world that there is a moral God, right? It was called, what was it called? Whatever, I'm blanking on the word right now, but Avraham's entire mission, ethical monotheism. That's what Avraham was preaching to the world, ethical monotheism. That there is belief in one God, and this is a God that directs us through life in an ethical way, that there is an ethical, moral God. So now Avraham, the symbol of ethical morality, the symbol of all that is moral and good in the world, because again, remember, there was other forms of worship that required child sacrifice. And this is what Avraham had been fighting against his entire life. So now Avraham is going to stand up and he is going to shecht his son. And this type of thing doesn't exactly stay on Har HaMoriah. This is not what happens on Har HaMoriah, stays there. The whole world was going to know what Avraham had done. And so Hashem was going to command Avraham to do something that was going to make the rest of the world question his existence after Avraham had spent his entire life proving the existence of God. There are deep, deep philosophical questions based in Akedas Yitzchak. And there are also many answers. And that is the third approach to the Akedas Yitzchak. That Akedas Yitzchak is not only there to teach us lessons from within the story, that we don't only learn from what the actions, what were done by Avraham, by Yitzchak, but we learn from their actions. That is our first approach. There's an educational value to the story of Akedas Yitzchak. There is also a value to the story as a whole from then on, that we use what happened there in order to use as a tool within our relationship with Hashem from then on. And the third approach is that of a philosophical approach, that we use the story of Akedas Yitzchak in order to delve and bring up questions that are deep, deep, deeply rooted within philosophy, that we are able to look at the story of Akedas Yitzchak and try to grapple within the story with these questions. So what I want us to take away from the story of Akedas Yitzchak, which I think is an important lesson that we can apply to many, many other stories in Tanakh, that there is always a value to understanding what happened within the story, that from every word that is written within the Torah, there are thousands of lessons that we can learn. And there is a value, but there is also a value outside of what happened within the story. There is a value. Remember, Hashem told us the story, but he also gave us the story as a whole, that each and every word matters, but the story as a whole serves different purposes to us. So again, to recap our three approaches, Akedas Yitzchak gives us educational lessons. We learn from their actions. We use what happened to Avraham and Yitzchak for us in the future. And we also use it as a springboard for some of our deepest philosophical questions. And I hope that we can use this methodology from now on in order to not only look into the story, but zoom out and look at the story as a whole and within the context of the rest of Tanakh and the rest of our lives and our history as a Jewish people.